The other night, Friday night, I think it was. Yeah, it was Friday night. Mary and I watched a wonderful movie at home. Now, Mary had bought this package of DVD movies, 20 movies for $5 at Walmart. So I looked at it. She was very excited about it. Look what I got. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, okay. couple of real bad ones, maybe a good one here and there. But there was this one was very good. The one we watched Thursday night, though, that was really bad. Something about a kid who was changed into a dog, and we had to listen to the kid's voice to the dog all throughout the movie. I'm going, God, shoot me now. But I stayed there. But in this movie, it was about a man and his wife, a man and his family, a wife, two girls, and a boy. The two oldest were in high school, and the youngest, a small girl, was in third grade. He had a very, very good paying job as a land developer. And so the whole family, they lived very well off. They had the expensive house, they had the cars, the clothing, the second house on the lake, and lots of other stuff. So at the start of the movie, you see them living this materialistic, self-centered, entitlement-oriented life and the effect that it had on their lives as a family. Their lives revolved around all of this stuff. And to outsiders, they probably looked like a pretty stable family. But in reality, they were on pretty thin ice, spiritually. Well, it happened. David, the father, lost his job. And over a period of a year, ended up losing everything, even their house. They had to go to one of those extended living hotels and became dependent on outside sources for food. Then the bottom really fell out. They were tossed out of the extended living house, a hotel. And so looking for anywhere to spend the night, they went to their church, the one they rarely ever attended, and spent the night there sleeping on the pews. The next morning, a man came with a Christmas tree to set up in the church, and he saw David and his family lying in the pews, sleeping. Earlier in the movie, this very same man, whose name is Hank, David had saw him at a local coffee shop, looking pretty forlorn, almost looking really like a homeless person. And so David, he bought him a cup of coffee. Now, David, he didn't realize or didn't think about it at the time at what he was doing. He was just helping the guy out. It was like a spur of the moment. He was on the phone while he was doing it. So he didn't remember him and or this incident of buying him the coffee. But Hank did remember him, and he was very appreciative, and he wanted to repay David for his kindness. So he invites the whole family to stay with him on his property, which was this massive Christmas tree farm. He had thousands and thousands and thousands of Christmas trees. But the weird thing was he didn't sell them. He gave them away to anyone who came and was looking for a tree, whoever wanted them. Him and his wife, who had passed away a few years earlier, they had made it their life's mission to do this, to just grow these trees and then give them away. So David and the family went with him, and Hank invited them to stay as long as they needed to, provided that they helped him take care of his Christmas tree farm. Which of course they said yes to. And it was here that the healing of the family, David and his family, began. They got to know this amazingly generous and joyful man, and they cared for his Christmas tree farm, which included giving them away to anyone who came for one. And David took a little time for him to do that. He wanted to make some money on that. But that wasn't the way things worked there. So it was this classic story of redemption, of God reaching out to us and pulling us up and out of whatever mess we had gotten ourselves into and bringing us back to life. Yes, that's what happened to David and his family. And their transformation from a messed up life of self-centeredness to one of joyful self-giving was wonderfully played out in this movie. So I have to give my wife credit for that. She picked a real good one there. Now, in every story like this, we all know there is always that Christ figure or Christ character in the movie. And Hank, of course, was that character. But so was the little girl who, throughout it all, never lost that simple yet powerful childlike hope that somehow, some way, God in his persistent love for us, for them, would prevail and help them out. And it did. It did happen. Like the little child in our first reading today from the prophet Isaiah, she was the one guiding her broken family to that new life throughout the whole movie. It was truly a story of second chances, of being given the opportunity to start over again. And so, it wasn't so much a Christmas story, although, you could say it was, but it was more so an Advent story. Every year at this time, at the beginning of our new year, our liturgical new year, which is what we are in, a week into it now, God invites us to begin again, to start anew, to forget the past, and to prepare ourselves for the beginning, for a new beginning. Today, of course, in our lives, we want that, but also in preparation for that final beginning, which is the beginning of eternal life for all of us. John the Baptist is sometimes called the saint of second chances because he calls us to get ourselves right with God and to turn our lives in another direction. In that radical and powerful way that we all know he does, he invites us, encourages us to repent and to begin anew, to begin again. Are we willing to say yes? Because if we do so, if we do that, it is also to admit our weakness, our frailty, our helplessness, and our dependency, our total dependency upon him. Throw in a good measure of expectant hope into that, and it's the perfect Advent recipe to make ourselves ready for Christ. Every year, it seems like it gets, more difficult, more hectic to get ready. Advent is supposed to be a time for us of quiet expectation. Wish that would happen. We have to go out of our way to find that. Of course, everything in our culture fights against that, as we know. We are being pericomoed, Bing Crosby'd, and Mariah Carey'd to death, for gosh sakes. There are lists to be made, meals to be organized, cards to be mailed, parties to attend. We attended one last night here. Cookies to be consumed, yum yum. Candy to be inhaled, ugly sweaters to wear, and I'm not pointing any fingers. Not yet. And of course, diets to be neglected. Yet none of that is really what Advent is all about, as we know. It's not about getting ready for Christmas, in the secular sense. It's about getting ready for Christ. He doesn't care if the halls are decked or the stockings are hung. He's not listening to hear what carols are playing on the rotation in the malls that we visit. He wants nothing more than to dwell in our hearts. But we have a tendency to make that path very difficult for him at times, with detours of self-delusion, pride, pettiness, and sin. Let's all take a look this time of year, today, more deeply into what this season is really about and look a little more closely to what the prophet Isaiah tells us. It's about the peace that Christ offers us in the entire world, about the wolf being the guest of the lamb, the leopard lying down with the kid, and a little child guiding them all. In a word, it is about salvation. Today, our salvation today, of course, and the fullness of that salvation at the end of time, when our King of Glory returns. Advent calls on us to be ready for that. It calls us to pray more intently, to hope more fervently, to love more generously. This is how we prepare the way of the Lord. That is how we make it easier for Him to enter our hearts. The Baptist cry this weekend is nothing less than a call to conversion. Yes, for all of us. It's a daily thing to be converted to God. He's offering us a second chance. So who among us wouldn't take that? At a moment when they needed it, David and his family, they got the second chance. Advent offers us that too. And we could all use a second chance. None of us are beyond that in our lives. So we need to seize this moment. We have 3 more weeks left before Christmas. Grab hold of that. Make these remaining days make truly a difference in your life. Prepare yourselves for something wondrous and new. Prepare yourselves for the way of the Lord.